Remarks. At California Conference Committee, St. Helena, California, November 13, 1906. Minutes of Union Council meeting of the California Conference Committee, Pacific Press Publishing Company, Healdsburg College, and the California Medical Missionary and Benevolent Association, called and held pursuant to resolutions adopted by the various boards at Crystal Springs, St. Helena, California, on Tuesday, November 13, 1906, at 12 o'clock noon. Present: Elders Knox, Santee, Wilcox, St. John, Brown, Richards, Gardner, Burden, Martin, McClure, Drs. Sanderson, Jones, Heald, Droll, Bond, and Brethren Jones, Cady, Ireland, Chapman, Saunders, Nelson, Boker, Bowen, Thorpe, Winkler, Parlin, and Sisters McClure, Cady, and others. Elder Knox was selected as permanent chairman and Parlin secretary. Prayer was offered by Elder Santee. The following were appointed a committee to mature plans and arrange program for the carrying forward of the meeting to report at the next session: Knox, Santee, Burden, Jones, Cady. Moved and carried that the local committees and the visiting brethren be invited to meet with us in our various meetings. Recess until 3. Upon reassembling at the appointed hour and being led in prayer by Elder Brown, the Committee on Program submitted its report, which was accepted, and the work of the Council began by considering general work. Elder Wilcox was appointed to lead out in the discussion. A special emphasis was placed upon the necessity of counseling together. Satan may move through one man's mind, but with several minds enlisted, there is greater safety against his wiles. Plans will be more liable to be viewed from all sides, and available talents may be brought into the proper place. Brother Jones spoke of the danger of overlooking or underestimating the importance of other lines of work than those in which we are personally engaged, and urged that everyone should take a look at the other branches of the work and try to appreciate the responsibilities and brethren in the different lines, so that we can pray and work intelligently for each other. Elder Santee stated that this was the first council of this kind that he had taken part in, and that it was the rather a new experience, and yet, I have seen many reasons why such a council as this would be blessed of God. One especial reason has been in my experience with those in whom I have the utmost confidence. I find that down in their hearts, the better I get acquainted with them, there is something that caused them to separate from the world and take their stand with God. 9/10 of what we deem mistakes in the plans of others, if we had been a little closer to them, we would have discovered were in reality not mistakes at all. It seems to me that God has planted many of us in that place, so that we may gain an experience that we could never have gained if He had worked a miracle. Every time that God has worked a miracle in behalf of His people, they have lost an experience which they might have had. Elder Brown, I believe these are true words to which we have been listening, and the principles which have been presented before us. I have been deeply interested in them. As stated by the last speaker, it seems to me that a move like this, council meetings of brethren who bear responsibilities in connection with the various institutions here on the coast, cannot be otherwise than helpful and encouraging in our work and productive of great good, and will tend to secure a cooperation and harmony and a unity in the work here on the coast that can but result in greater success than we have ever seen before. Elder Knox. The question of our counseling together in the work is certainly one that we all recognize as being the true principle upon which we should work. Recess until 4:45. Singing and being led in prayer by Elder McClure was followed by remarks by
Professor Cady. Educational work. The enrollment at the college at the present time is 195, fully as large an enrollment as we had last year at this same time, and perhaps a little larger, and others are still coming. The class of students on the whole are better than they were last year, that is, more studious and steady in their habits. Church schools have been established and supplied with teachers at 13 different places, and there are several other schools which will begin in a short time. Calls are coming to us for teachers from many places, one being from Provo, Utah. The one feature of the schoolwork this year is to instruct the parents. the home is the proper place to begin the educational work. The reason we have not had more success in our educational work in our church schools is because the parents have not been prepared to do their part. To remedy this, we have issued a little pamphlet which suggests a uniform course of study, books, etc., to be used in the schools, and other matter which will be of great value to parents and others interested in the work. We are carrying along the regular lines of industrial work we did last year: printing, broom making, tent making, and we intend to introduce in the college this year domestic science, cookery, and general housekeeping. We also expected to take up a line of dressmaking, but have failed to find a teacher that can take up that work. The work of our college is to fit our young people for some line of work. This is just as true of the medical missionary work. All of these institutions that are doing the actual work in the field should be in a position to speak of needed improvements. At the printing office at the college, we ought to have a man, and I am not saying a word against the man we have, that is really skilled, really an artist in that line. And all the work that goes forth from the hands of the students should be first class. It is just as true in the medical missionary work, in our science department. All those lines should be taught by persons who really understand that line of work. Our sanitarium ought to see to it that there is a teacher in the college that will put such a mold on these young people that will equip them for the medical missionary work. We ought to have man in the canvassing department that can represent that work in the right way. In the cooking department, we ought to have an individual that really understands the art and science of cooking. Elder Santee. Ever since I have been connected with the college, I have felt the need of the hearty cooperation of the other institutions, and as I have looked over the field, I have wondered that there was not a closer connection. Elder White. I would like to make an appeal in behalf of Healdsburg College. I had the privilege of visiting the school, and I observed many things that gave me much pleasure, and two things I wish to call your attention to. One was that the average age of the students was very young. Another was the apparent absence of the faculty from the building. Another thing, the building was not full. I make a special plea that the medical missionary work shall be closely identified with the work of teaching at the college. It would be a blessing to our medical association if the college could be provided with a course of study planned out by the officials of the association and of the college in conjunction, so that it would be recognized as an official course planned and recognized by the association. The school should also be equipped with teachers who have been practical nurses, and if possible, let us have a physician, so that that department can take its position next to the biblical department as the most important department of the school. Recess until 7:30. Singing and prayer by Elder Martin opened the evening exercises. Elder Burden led out in the discussion, stating that when the work was commenced in the sanitarium on the hillside, there were 4 ladies and 5 gentlemen. 3 of those were patients, and I happened to be one of the patients, the first, I think, that was brought to the institution when it opened. Dr. Sanderson followed, dwelling upon the wonderful growth and development of the enterprise, as evidenced by what we see about us, and the interest shown in this, the largest representation of our workers that he had ever seen upon the hillside. Remarks were made by Dr. Droll and Elder Brown. Dr. Kellogg spoke of the condition of the world at large, that humanity was in a worse condition physically and morally than ever before, thereby emphasizing the need of the light that has been committed to us as a people. This was well illustrated by an incident in connection with our work in Mexico. An individual who had heard of the work at our sanitarium at Guadalajara traveled several hundred miles to obtain relief. He presented himself, covered as it were with the dust of centuries, at the door of the sanitarium and said, "I want to see the doctor that cures all diseases." At 6:30, Wednesday, November 14th, the council reassembled. Prayer by Elder Wilcox. Elder Daniels chose for the basis of his remarks John 17, verse 20, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." In part, he said, the prayer of Christ reaches down to us today. The mighty victor's prayer, one who knew how to believe and how to pray. To me, there is a great and beautiful lesson in this. We ought to make more earnest prayers for the workers. There is a blessing in this which can be received in no other way. There is a failure on our part to remember our beloved brethren and sisters who are in the field. The first thing to bring unity is to pray for the work and the workers. This unity cannot be a mechanical thing. It must be a living experience in the heart, and the Lord alone can give that experience. I do not know how we can do this unless we take the time to talk more about it. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Paul had one topic, he had one theme, one great question. You know, he said, "This one thing I do." Philippians 3, verse 13. Jesus said to Martha, "One thing is needful." Luke 10, verse 42. David said, "One thing have I desired." Psalm 27, verse 4. Now there is but one theme, one thing in this world, under the shining sun, that is worthy of the attention of men, and that is this theme, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We should abandon ourselves altogether to the one great question. That certainly teaches us the oneness of God's great work. I understand that everything connected with the third angel's message is of this one great theme. The third angel's message in all its fullness is the gospel in all its fullness. It is not a part of the gospel. It is not a feature of the gospel. It is not an appendage of the gospel. It is the gospel itself. It is the gospel given to the world today in a fullness that has never been revealed before. It is the gospel given to man as certainly as it has not been preached since apostolic times. Jesus did proclaim a complete gospel, but light has been shining forth, and now in these last days, God would have all that is intended for humanity before translation to come out now. Of course, we shall see more and more of it. It will take eternity to reveal all these things. If we have anything in our work that we cannot pray for, that we cannot be swallowed up in, we ought to cut it off at once. Take the different lines of work. The evangelical work, of going out and preaching to the people, giving Bible readings, visiting from house to house. And church work, we look upon that as purely gospel work. It is. But the gospel work is not limited to that. We have the work of distributing literature, sowing reading matter all over the world. There is no denomination in the world that has such a fine, rich literature as we have. We have a message to give to the people in a short time, every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, that we must save as far as it is possible to save them, and in this age, it cannot be done without distributing literature everywhere. In order to do that, we must have facilities for doing that. God has raised up men who have given their minds to that, and He has provided facilities that are wonderful for that purpose. I feel that is our gospel work just as much as it is to go out and preach a sermon to the people. I believe if our publishing houses had the support and prayers of our people throughout the land, as we ought to have, there would not be much need for travelers or city agents. What is true of the publishing houses is also true of the educational work, of our medical missionary work, and doctors and nurses and helpers. I cannot look upon any of these branches in any other way than that they are God's appointed institutions for saving the world. And these medical institutions should have our prayers and not our criticisms. They should have our money and our help to be placed on a sound basis, and then the Lord would ease up the burdens, and it would enable all connected with the institutions to work to much greater advantage. The same principle applies to our educational work. I don't see where we can draw any lines in this work. It is a sin to be indifferent or heedless to the interests of the different branches of the work. We must carry them on our hearts, remember them in our prayers, and be ready to assist whenever needed. Sister White. I heard these words from Brother Daniels in regard to the work being done, and that is the way the work is presented to me always. And when I have written to Battle Creek, sometimes I have spoken Review and Herald. There has been no distinction ever presented to me in anything that was under that roof. It is one. Willie has questioned me. "What do you mean, Mother, by review and herald?" he would say. "Well, it is everything that is connected with the building that is review and herald. It is the work, and it is the one work. It is not a division of departments. Everything that stands under the roof that is connected with the review and herald is a unit of the work. It is responsible for all the work that is done under that roof. That is why I mention this, because some may realize, perhaps, or think, that because I say review and herald, why, I mean just nothing but that which concerns the publication of the review and herald. It never was presented to me in that light. Well, I want to speak of that which Brother Daniels has mentioned. The medical missionary work and the gospel, every department of the work is one, and it is represented as one. Everything connected with the work and the cause of God for a preparation for the coming of the Son of Man, it is one work. It is a unit. It is not a divided work, but it is a work that is to prepare a people to stand in the last great day. And that is how the matter is presented to me. For I do not distinguish between the medical and the gospel. The gospel is a medical work. The gospel is the work of not only presenting the great truths which must be received in order to become sanctified through the truth, but it must embrace all that Christ embraced in ministering. It is ministering to the sick. It is ministering in the gospel. It is working at the right hand and working at the left hand. It is doing the work intelligently for God and suffering men. And that is the important work that is to be done at this present time. There is to be no division in that work in our institutions. It is the ministry to the sick, which ministry should embrace the salvation of the soul just as equally, just as thoroughly, just as fully as the minister. It is to be a work for the perfecting of the saints and the preparation of the people of God that is to stand in the last great day. All this work is one. The question has been asked many times whether the physicians should feel it their duty to open the truth or the word to their patients. That depends very much on circumstances. There are those, if you should produce anything new, that was not just in accordance with their minds, it would have an ill effect on the patients. But God can work in such a way that the truth can be presented. But it is just as much a physician's duty to prepare a soul for eternity as to minister to the body. To prepare the soul before him for what is to take place. If you see they are in danger, it is your duty to tell them that they are in danger. You could not neglect to do this and be a faithful steward. The work that is demanded of us is to be faithful stewards wherever we are. Wherever there is a work to be done, take hold of it and do it intelligently. And there is to be a preparedness for the work. And God will help every one of us.
How is the medical missionary work? It never has been presented in any other light before me from the commencement than the arm to the body. Here is the work, the organization of the ministry, to preach the Word of God, to carry forward that work for sick and for well. The medical missionary work, or any part of the work, is just as the hand is towards the body. That is always represented in that light, and has always been presented in that light until more recently. Now they say, the Lord has shown Sister White that this work is just like the arm to the body. The Lord has shown her that. And it has been urged that because it was that work, there should be oneness of responsibility. That is so. It is as the arm is to the body. Now God wants all of us to have an interest in all the medical work. That is, Christ was bound all up in this work. It was the whole work. You see, He made no division at all. He did not feel that he was infringing on physicians or anything like that, but he just proclaimed the truth. And when he saw the sick, he came right to them and asked if they believed that he would make them whole, or could make them whole. And some at once responded. Others hesitated. But the Lord Jesus Christ was just as ready to lay his hand upon the sick and the afflicted ones as he was to preach the gospel. And he was just as much at home in doing that work as he was in preaching the gospel. For it is a part of it. Preaching the Word of God is ministering, and the minister is to take the people right where they are, whatever their position, whatever their condition, and try in every way possible to help them. That is, to relieve the suffering, to go right into their homes, to tell them, "I am ready to help you, and I will do the best I can. I am not a physician. You may be a minister, and you can tell them that you are a minister. Those that are sick in body are nearly always sick in soul. When Christ healed the paralytic, the very first work he had to do for that man was to give him peace of mind. He knew that that man was so disturbed because the priests and rulers had always said to him, "It is your sins, it is your sins," and that God has cast him off. There was no hope for him because of his sins. That is what they were always saying, and the poor man was left where there was no hope. But the very first word Christ uttered was, "Peace," that his sins were forgiven. That very thing was what he wanted. And oh, what peace and joy came into his heart. In regard to Christ, they began to abuse him at once. "But," says he, "that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power to forgive sins," he says to the paralytic, "Take up your bed and go to thy house." Matthew 9, verse 6. There are the two blending. It is the ministry and the healing. They both go together, and there is no more separation than there is in this very instance. And God wants that every one of his ministers should not only have that faith in the work of our institutions, but that they should go further than that. They should every one of them have that confidence in themselves and in God, that God wants them to be a living example of what it means to be well, of what it means to have health. He wants them to show that the truth has accomplished a work for every one of them. And therefore, those that assemble together in our conferences, etc., they are not always in a prepared state to judge righteously, and there is a confused and congested brain. Well, what are they to do? Before they assemble to worship God, everyone should, to the very best of their ability and power, place themselves in the right relation to God and to health.
If the head is congested, find out what is the matter. Or it is the stomach. Something about the stomach is not right, and it has telegraphed its disturbed condition to the brain. What are you to do? You are to find out what have been eating and what has put the stomach in that state of dyspepsia. And when you find out what has made that, then you take care of that stomach. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and when we put that body into a condition where we cannot help it to be in a better condition, we rob God of the honor that is due him from those for whom he has given his Son, that they might have a complete salvation. The ministers are to understand how they can keep their bodies in the most healthful condition, that they can recommend the truth of God and teach it to others in the right manner. And when they assemble together in meetings, or any council, or any of our meetings, or wherever anything is to be planned, you should understand whether they are in a condition to do it intelligently. And they have no right to go there with impressions that will lead them to speak hastily, that will lead them to look at matter in a false light. They have no right to do it. They must place themselves in a condition of healthfulness and where they can judge righteously and that they can voice the voice of God. And in those things they can advance the work of God more than by all their talking and all their preaching that they can do. God wants the ministry to stand in its high and elevated position, and that man that shall stand in the pulpit to speak to the people should practice self-denial in eating only such food as the stomach can work into good blood, and not crowd into the stomach a mass of food that will get up a quarrel and disturbance, as your words will be likely to do in any of these assembles, unless you have a clean stomach. You want a clean stomach in order to have a clean mind. Here is the union of the two. It is the minister who stands before God, knowing that in every assembly there is God, in every assembly Christ is there, and angels of God that are ascending and descending the ladder, which is Christ Jesus. Now they say, "We want Sister White to come to the conference. We want you to come there to Battle Creek." Well, I dare not. Not but what I would like to come. What is the reason? I do not dare go because it is not the right time to have a conference. It is not the right time to have it in cold weather, to have our conference and have to sit in houses with furnaces and pipes and stoves. And they come together with their beclouded brains, and they are heated through the heated furnaces, or perhaps they have to go to bed in a cold bed, as I have done again and again, and nearly cost me my life to stay all night in a cold bed. I don't propose to do it. God has a work for me to do, and I am going to do it to the very best intelligence I have. but when we have a conference, the light has been given to me that it should be with all the pure air of heaven possible for them to breathe in. It should be within sight of the trees and the beauties of nature around them, and something to be grateful for. And then they are to have this drinking in and drinking in the purifying air. You will find the decisions in that conference will be of 100-fold more value than in a conference that there is congestion on account of heat, and there is a letting down because of the heat. Now I cannot bear a fire in my room such mornings as this. Now this medical missionary work and the gospel, there is no division in it at all. The medical missionary work has ever been presented to me as the arm is to the body. The head is Jesus Christ. And the church, the ministry, is to cooperate with the arm, or the arm with the ministry. And they are to work just as a unit. And then the salvation of God will be revealed. Recess until 9. Upon reassembling at the appointed time, Brother Jones spoke on the financial phase of our work. Various selections from the testimonies were read. First, with reference to the relationship that should exist between the institutions, how we should relate ourselves, one to the other. Testimony 33, page 562. Avoiding worldly policy. Testimony 33, page blank. Bookkeepers. Testimony 33, page 563. Donations and money at low rates of interest were advocated as one means of aiding the work financially. Reference was made to the donation of work to aid the college fund, virtually amounting to $20,000. Suggested that the brethren in the field should be vigilant in looking after means, helpers, college students, etc.
More denominational literature has been sent out this last year than in any one year before. The question now is how to get the work out and not how to get work. The sale of tracts was reported as averaging about 73,000 pages daily during the last year, that nearly all the large bookstores were now carrying our trade books, that the subscription book business was on the increase, that they use at the Pacific Press nearly 2 carloads of paper per week, and that the number of employees was larger than ever before, about 180 at the present time. Elder Knox spoke of the necessity of the institutions and their work being so conducted as to be object lessons as to how God would have business transacted, avoiding worldly policy. Elder White stated that our institutions had been established by God for the manifestation to the world of the principles of heaven. Also, that the excellency of God should be manifested in every business transaction. We should measure all our business dealings by that standard of excellency of God. Why, said he, should it not be the object and aim of every Seventh-day Adventist throughout the world to have all of their capital invested in the cause of God? Considering that we individually are a part of the cause, how much can we reserve? Elder Knox spoke of the condition in the field with regard to the need of means and urged that the laborers, as they go out, unite their forces along this line. Recess until 11:30. Singing, followed by prayer by Elder Burden, opened the closing session of the council. Elder Santee. In the conference work especially, it has seemed to me that the blending of these different instrumentalities that God has raised up and is raising up really constitute conference work. I believe that binding up the field work and working with system and order is God's plan. How can we take those who have been fitted in the sanitarium and take them out into the conference and make use of them in the most profitable way to the glory of God as conference laborers? The conference expects that the one in charge of this institution shall be so in touch with the work that whoever they may recommend shall bring someone a little nearer the Savior. We are asking the college that they furnish us laborers, that they send out canvassers and prepare those who shall go right into the ministry. What class do we expect to be given us from the college? What about the publishing work? What shall be the counsel to those to whom we are paying money from the various institutions? What should be the relation of the conference to the nurses? Also to the college workers and the physicians? Elder Wilcox. Is not the solution of these questions found in the appreciation of the gifts which the Lord has entrusted to the individual? What shall we do with these young people or plan devised by which they can be retained? Dr. Sanderson suggested bringing in a deeper spiritual experience. Elder Wilcox. In regard to the formation of a nurse's training school over in the college, it does not seem to me that it would be entirely proper to leave the matter where it is, and I therefore move that a committee of five be appointed to take this matter into consideration, of which the chair and Brother White shall be two members, the chair to name the other three from the conference, the college board, and the St. Helena Sanitarium Board. Seconded and carried. Committee. Knox, White, Sanderson, Santee, Katie. Elder Brown. I am sure that we have all greatly enjoyed these meetings that we have held together, and I think they have been very profitable and encourage us in looking forward to still more profitable and successful meetings of this kind in the future. And I think we have all felt, inasmuch as this has been the first meeting of the kind that we have ever held here, some embarrassment because of our not having had plans beforehand for our meeting, and that it would be a great advantage if we could come up to future meetings with more definite plans. And I would therefore present the following. Whereas, the meetings of this council have been seasons of blessing and profit, and wise plans should be laid to make future meetings of this kind still more successful and practical in their results, therefore we recommend that a committee of five be appointed by the chair, of which he shall be one, and on which each institution in the conference and the conference committee shall be represented. This committee to have power to act in arranging the time, place, program, and work of our next council meeting, and in inviting such persons to attend it as, in their judgment, should share its blessings and responsibilities. Seconded and carried. Committee. Knox, Santee, Jones, Katie, Sanderson.
Elder Burden. With regard to the matter of looking after the funds that shall be thrown back into the hands of those who have them, as notes shall be taken up, it seems to me that there ought to be an arrangement by which someone from the various boards should be designated to look into this matter as notes are being paid off, that the other boards might know of it if in need of funds, that we know where to look. Brother Jones. I think that is a very good suggestion, that a committee be appointed, representing the different boards and the conference committee, to take this matter into consideration, and counsel, and advise, not only as to how the money shall be used, but other matter that may come up, the matter of interests, and various things that ought to be taken into careful consideration, and counsel together. I would therefore move that a committee of five be appointed to take this matter into consideration, of which the chair shall be one, to represent the different institutions. Seconded and carried. Committee. Knox, Jones, Bowen, Peoples, Santee. Moved, seconded, and carried that the meeting adjourn. Parlin, Secretary.